As we finished up the series, I thought, Lord, what do you want me to say between now and Easter? And the Lord put blessing on my heart, the blessing of the Lord. Anybody appreciate the blessing of the Lord? I mean, that's a big topic, the blessing of the Lord. And I think in our culture, we as Christians, sometimes we have messed that up, haven't we? If you're a child of God, you are blessed. Amen? And have been blessed. And to have the word of God and put it in your heart, how many know you are blessed? And if you don't feel blessed, by the time you leave today, I hope you can feel blessed, right? Because God blesses us to be a blessing. And the word blessing is all over the word of God. It's a word that has lost its significance. The world's replaced it with success or good luck. I mean, no, this thing is not a matter of luck. If you have Jesus, you have more than good luck. You have the Lord. And the steps of righteous people are ordered by the Lord. The blessing of the Lord come to you today. You know, we speak blessing to each other all the time. Hopefully we do. But what it is to be blessed, you know, we want to find out. Is it a statement of faith? Is it just a declaration of our faith? Is it a prayer? Is it a hope? I hope you find yourself blessed today. But if you walked into these doors and you don't feel blessed, it is a good chance you have not yet made a decision to follow Jesus. Because how many know, once you find Jesus, your life of blessing begins there. Your life of blessing begins there. Doesn't mean a life of perfection, right? Doesn't mean you're not going to have hardships. So I want us to take a look at a couple of verses this morning on the blessing of the Lord. First one is Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord makes you rich or wealthy, and he adds no sorrow with it. No problems come with it. So this, first of all, is not a message on prosperity. But just because prosperity gospel preachers have used and abused the scriptures doesn't mean the fact that we are blessed by the Lord is null and void. We are blessed. We are God's people and we're blessed. And hopefully today we can look at the scriptures and see. Next slide, I want you to see that that one of the Greek words from our English word blessing is translated eulogo, or from which we get our English word eulogy, is to speak blessing. Amen. Next slide, just a definition of bless. It means two words. It means you, which is good or well, and logos, meaning word. So it's a good word. It's a word to be blessed is to be well spoken of. And the question I have for you today is, why do we wait until we're dead to speak well of people? I want you to turn to your neighbor right now and just speak a blessing. Just say, you are blessed. You are a blessing. Turn to him. Turn to the neighbor next to you. Just say, you are a blessing. Just try it. Just turn around. Look at somebody behind you. Make sure nobody gets left out. Tell them, speak a blessing. You're not dead. Somebody's speaking a blessing while you're alive. Amen. Next slide. The Greek word eulogia refers to one upon whom God has acted and one who has experienced his blessing. Anybody here experienced the blessing of God? So this is the way we live. We walk in the blessings of the Lord. Blessed. Remember the Lord just used a whole bunch in the New Testament of blessings. Blessed are the Beatitudes. The attitudes of blessing. Right? And so we're blessed. We're blessed. We're blessed. And if you ever wondered what your definition was, blessing begins with the Lord. The blessing of the Lord, right? I have done this for you, and I will do this for the nations as well through you. So God's covenant with Abraham, I will make you a blessing to the nations around you. I will bless you. He said it also to Moses. We'll deal with that in Deuteronomy. You are blessed. You're blessed people because you're my people. How many know blessing starts with the Lord? It's the blessing of the Lord, right? So beginning at the first page of the Bible, God created every living thing and said it was good. And God blessed it all. It was a gift. Can I tell you, salvation today is a gift from Almighty God. I didn't have the blessing of it. I didn't walk in the blessing of God. I walked in the protection of God by default. How many know God was working for you before you were already understanding God was with you? God was helping you when you couldn't even help yourself. So I believe the Holy Spirit's always wooing and calling and helping us to identify with who we really ought to be. And sometimes we get lost. That's why they call us, before we find Christ, that's why they call us lost. We're unbelievers. We believe, but we don't act like we believe, and we find ourselves lost. So God created every living thing and said it was good. It's a gift, a blessing from the Lord. How many of you ever received a blessing? Surprise, spontaneous blessing. In the church, and sometimes they call it Pentecostal handshake. I've received a couple of them where somebody shook my hand and I just shake their hand and come back. I got some green back in my hand. And oh yes, Sister Heisman, I shout glory. I'm not afraid to receive a blessing. But you know, some people can't stand to be blessed. Or maybe they don't know what it's like to be blessed. Or maybe they have taken their past, which was not so blessed, and confused it with their future. How many know what man did to you is not as great as what God's done for you? And sometimes it gets clouded. And so every living thing, God said it was good. The word for bless or blessing is used over 400 times just in the Old Testament. And then God created man in his own image and said it was good. And then for the first time in the word of God, he said there was something that was not good. Are y'all ready for this, ladies? God said to Adam, it's not good for you to be alone. You can't even match your clothes. You can't even walk straight. You need a woman after you need me. You need a woman. So he took a rib and made a woman and said, this is very good. And Adam said, yeah. Come on, give God praise for the ladies. You the first gift. Thank God for my gift. God gave me a gift. Behind every successful husband is a surprise mother-in-law. It was God. It was God who did it all. And then for the first time, God said something was not good. He gave us woman and blessed man with the first blessing gift. That's you, ladies. And when his love is made manifest in you, it is called a blessing. And if you've ever received a blessing, it's amazing. Our English word eulogy, like I said, comes from that, speak well of. And we usually wait. Speaking well of others blesses them. I encourage you this week as we deal with this. We might not finish it today. We might go into next week as well. But I encourage you to learn how to use your mouth. You can speak blessing or you can speak curses. In fact, God set before Moses, when God shows his favor to us, he calls it a blessing. In the Old Testament, it was mostly physical blessings. And God said, don't forget me. When I bless you, don't forget me. I've told people that, hey, when you get your first million, don't forget Oak Grove. Right? Usually when they get to the millions, they bail on us. I mean, money sometimes can make you selfish. I mean, give liberally when you're broke and busted and disgusted. Give faithfully. And then they get $1 million and boop, pew, gone. David was a precursor to the New Testament when we talk about invisible blessings or blessings on the inside. It's one thing to have physical blessings outside, right? And Abraham had his cattle and his Jacob was blessed as well. Even with Uncle Laban, he was chased and pursued and he deceived his father to get the inheritance. But how many know when what goes around comes around? Yeah. And Esau, he took the birthright and the blessing, but Esau, he had to deal with Esau. Then he gave Esau everything. There is this process that happens. There's purpose in blessing. There's also process in blessing. And I want to look at both of them today because David talks about the blessing of peace and joy, the blessing of endurance, the blessing of a song in the night. So just because you're blessed or just because God has put a blessing on you doesn't mean that there's not hardships and hard times. And I think that's where the prosperity gospel has gone wrong. They have taken it to the end extreme where it's false teaching that even in the Old Testament, though, they thought if you had prosperity, if you had wealth, that you were blessed. Abraham was a wealthy man and that's why he was blessed. But how many know he wasn't blessed because he had all the stuff. He was blessed because he belonged in covenant relationship with Almighty God. And inheritance came to Isaac, the son, and then to Jacob and down to Joseph and on down the blessing goes. I believe the blessing of God can be inherited from the Lord, right? It's inheritance. It's very important that that is what we talk about. So God still speaks a blessing today. Anybody ever go through a dark night of the soul? Even though you're blessed, even though you're a righteous man or woman of God, even though you're serving the Lord, you have had some dark nights. And weeping lasts for the night, but how many know joy comes in the morning? So the blessing comes and continues when God told Aaron to bless these people. Bless what people? Bless these complaining people. God's people were complaining. It seemed as though God could never satisfy them. I mean, you can get so self-centered as the people of God that you're never satisfied. Always feeling empty. And it's the presence of the Lord that fills you. It's the Spirit of the Lord that fills you to full if you're content with Him alone. But if you have to have everything. So success is what the world is calling blessing. But the Lord calls blessing. To be blessed means that you belong to Him. It comes from the Lord. That's why they call it the blessing of the Lord. So you could get your own wealth and work yourself into what you think is success. But how many know that doesn't last? In fact, many people do it because they want to say, look what I did. And you could go ahead and just try to build your empire and build your wealth and build yourself. And even some people do it with their body. I'm going to build my body. I'm going to be so awesome. Look at me. I'm a manly man. Well, you know what? That's why they put mirrors in the gym. So you can just stare at yourself. But when I looked in the mirror, I ran out of the gym. I didn't want to be in there. Who wants to see that? But these complainers, these people who don't like God's plan, I came to tell you, God wants to bless you. And even if you get in some kind of a defunct kind of way where you don't think God's plans are the right plans, because as soon as something bad happens, we think we're not in God's will anymore. But if you've been married for any long amount of time, how many know just because you have a bad spell doesn't mean you have a bad marriage? Amen. You're still blessed. God's smile is still upon you. You made a covenant. How many know when you made a covenant with God, it didn't mean that every day would be sunshine. But you still are blessed. I said you're still blessed. Amen. And so, if there was one thing I learned in the last 2 years being a grandparent, and that is this. You don't have to tell me to spoil my grandbaby. You don't have to force me. You know, I am guilty. My name is Ron, and I have spoiled him rotten. Jeremiah says God has plans for you, that they are not evil plans, but they're plans to bless you and give you a great future. I want to bless that baby boy all the time. Why? Why? I want to discipline him. I will, and I will. I will get stronger and meaner. Yeah, I hear you. Next slide. No, I'm teasing. They don't have to go nowhere. I think it's because I'm working on. I get in the flesh and I spoil him. I don't think Hudson's spoiled. He's just well taken care of. But I'm working on that. So let me ask you: does everyone live under the blessing? Why do we bless our people? Why do we speak blessings over you every service? Why are we there for you? Because we love you. Why do you bless your parents? Why do you bless your children? Why do you bless your spouse? Why do you bless your friends? Because you bless those people you love. It doesn't mean you don't discipline them. And how many know the Lord has His share of disciplining us? But when we're going through the discipline, it doesn't feel like we're blessed. But we are. So the question today is, does everybody live under the blessing? Does everyone live under the open heavens? Well, the people God spoke to whom He loved in the Old Testament didn't even enter into the promised land. So how can a person live in the blessing? How does that happen? How many here would say, God, I want your blessing? You know, whenever Caleb wanted to date Tori, he asked for my blessing. Whenever Taylor wanted to date Chrissy, asked for my blessing, asked for the Father's blessing. That means, do you approve of me? And how many know the Lord approves of you? The Lord approves of you. He gives you His blessing when you receive His Son. This is my beloved Son. Listen and obey everything He says. That's the New Testament, right? So I want to live under the smile of God. That's what we really need. I don't need physical blessings all the time. But what I really need is spiritual blessings. Anybody come to the place serving the Lord where you need divine wisdom? Well, I could use some wisdom when I get into the place I can't figure it out myself. I need invisible blessing of God. Supernatural wisdom I can't get on my own, but I can get through the power of the Holy Spirit. And peace, peace. When rough times are coming or crisis comes, I mean, our friend Jim Calvin, just last week, we had lunch together on Monday. Tuesday, he went to the doctor because he had heartburn. Wednesday morning, he had open heart surgery, four-way bypass. And just told me Monday he was starting to attend Oak Grove. I said, Oak Grove gave you heartburn? What's going on here? How many know that's calm to chaos in one day? What a difference one day can make. And I'm telling you, I don't care what happens to you tomorrow. If you're in Jesus, you are blessed. And I think sometimes we vacillate between I'm blessed, I'm not blessed. I'm cursed, I'm blessed, I'm cursed, I'm blessed. But how many know you can't do that? The only reason you're blessed is because God's given you His grace. Amen? And God wants to put His smile on you. That's what we need. His love, His joy. Allowing God to keep us and guard us and protect us. God's blessings gives us way more than money. Because money can buy you a bed, but it can't buy you sleep. You can stay up all night in the most comfortable bed they have. Called a friend of mine yesterday. He said, I'm buying a new bed. He got one of those that kind of prop up and be, you know, I said, me and Melissa cannot have that kind of bed. We just need one kind, which is one time. I think I'd hit a button and smash myself in the middle of the night. We just need simplicity. We don't need all that complicated stuff. And you know, life can be complicated, but you can buy the best mattress money can buy and still not get sleep. That's the difference between true blessing and material blessing, right? And so blessing guards your heart and your mind. It gives you shalom, which is peace, which is the fullness of spiritual, emotional, and mental peace and rest. And the world's trying to fill that void with all kinds of things. Marijuana, how many know you can make it legal if you want to? You can give it all away free. It's not going to help you. Only the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and your mind by Christ Jesus. Real blessing comes from knowing Jesus. I know because I've been around the world. I've seen poverty, and yet people who don't have two nickels to rub together, don't have a home, and yet they have the peace of God and the blessing of God and favor over their life. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? So blessing is more than prosperity, physical blessing. And I don't need drugs and I don't need alcohol. How about you? I mean, there's an anxious bunch out there. Well, tonight we'll be dealing with emotions again tonight. Pretty good conversation last Sunday night. But I don't need to take pills to find rest. I don't need to go out and drink or smoke or do something to bring, you know, get rid of my anxiety. That is meaning something else is mastering me. Something else is moving me. Something else is controlling me. And I would rather be controlled by the Spirit of God than all the substances of this world. Money can't buy me love, right? And so the only qualification is that His face shine on me. The only qualification for blessing is that God's face shine on you. But you have to walk in the light. That means no secrets. That means no secret plans to live your life without Him. You know, there are people who are trying to finagle their way out of God's sight. And I tell you, that's a dangerous place to be. I'd rather God see me. How many like to have God smile on you and be real and have what He has for you than to have this pretend life? Because you can be successful publicly and fail privately. I made a choice. Melissa and I have made a choice. I'd rather fail publicly and succeed privately than to succeed publicly and fail privately. Why? Because one of these days I'm going to stand before King Jesus. He sees everything. Amen? So if you want real peace, peace that nobody else can give you, no other relationships, no jobs, no house, no cars, no money, no none of that stuff is going to bring you peace. Only the blessing of God in your spirit, man. So Lord, let Your face shine on me and let me be real. Come on, somebody praise the Lord today. Lord, let your face shine upon me and let me be real. The key here is inheritance. So what are we saying? I'm saying that we need to understand God's blessings do not come to us because we are good, but because we are his children. And God is good. Can somebody amen? God is good. Can somebody say amen? God is good. Absolutely. And so if God is he good only on this certain day when things are going well for you? Or is he good every day? He's good every day. So Romans 8, 16 and 17, it says the Spirit himself testifies and confirms together with our spirit, assuring us that we, the believers, are children of God. And if we are his children, then we are his. We are his. We're heirs, also heirs and joint heirs of and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing his spiritual blessing and inheritance. It's all about the inheritance. Now, my father passed away a couple of years ago, left a little bitty old inheritance. Praise the Lord. I thought it was bigger than it would have been. I thank God that he worked his whole life to give us at least something. He had 11 kids. I mean, if you have fewer kids, you get bigger, you get... Now, that's why the average American only has 2.5 kids. I was talking to my sister one day, and I said, if we only had 2.5, would you be the 0.5? Because I want the whole thing. Amen? I want the whole inheritance. Anybody here want what God has for you? Amen. So it's his goodness. We want to earn it so we can say we did it, but we will never be able to earn it because it is a free gift. And in your own strength, you will never make it because we can only do it by the grace of God. So we don't earn his blessings. But we can do this, Oak Grove. We can put ourselves in a position to receive readily the thing that God has for us. Are you seeing what I'm saying? God has some things for us, and we can put ourselves in a place where we can receive it. So first thing I want you to see is that God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you. I mean, that's pretty simple, Max. God wants to bless us. And God's word tells us, right? How many times does God's word tell us? Look at the 15th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. 15th chapter of book of Deuteronomy, verse 4. However, there should be no poor among you. Look at this, the heart of God to the people of God. There should be no poor among you, for in the land the Lord your God is giving you to possess as your inheritance, he will richly bless you. That's an emphatic statement. God's going to richly bless you in the land he gave you. In other words, you don't have anything that the Lord didn't give it to you. He will richly bless you. Verse 5, if only, somebody say if only. So the blessings of God are conditional on our part. His love is unconditional on his part, but receiving the blessing is conditional upon our part. I hope you get that because I hope to make this very plain for you. If only you fully obey the Lord your God and are careful to follow all these commands I'm giving you today. Verse 6, for the Lord your God will bless you as he has promised, and you will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. How many of you would like to be in a place where you're always the lender and never having to borrow? Wouldn't that be a blessing? You should take Dave Ramsey's class. He'll tell you how to do that. That's it. Commercial giving. He also says you will rule over many nations, but none will rule over you. Satan takes God's promise and twists it to try to give authority and usurp rule and ownership over you. How many know you don't belong to Satan, you belong to God? And when you receive Jesus, you receive the blessing. That means you're guarded. That means you're protected. That means you're provided for. That means every spiritual blessing God has belongs to you, and even physical ones. But you can't put all your confidence and faith in physical ones because physical comes and physical goes. How many remember last Sunday? These things down here are temporary, but the things that are invisible, they are eternal. So God wants to bless you. Proverbs 10:22 said, the blessing of the Lord makes rich. He has no sorrow with it. Why, even the cross was God's blessing to us. Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame. And for the joy that was set before him, it was an honor for Jesus to bless you. And it was God who loved you to give you Jesus and me. Is anybody here thankful for Jesus? Now listen. Are you thankful for his provision on the cross? Because not only did he buy your salvation in that one position, that right standing before God, he also blessed you and sanctified you and made you holy. Because when God sees the blood, how many know he passes by? And death can't hurt you. And nothing can destroy you. Because you belong to God by inheritance. Because you're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That's what Romans is saying. So I hope to give you this because it's a gift. Right? Ephesians says that it's a gift. Salvation is a gift of God. Lest any man should boast. You didn't do anything to earn it. And you can't do anything to earn the blessing. How do you get it? Well, that's a big question. It's not in your own strength, and you'll never make it by yourself. God so loved that he gave. Amen? And his word is filled with promises of blessing. The second thing is God blesses the obedient. He blesses the obedient. So if only is the condition to receiving the blessing. So number one, it comes from the Lord. It begins with God. But number two, you have to walk in obedience. So with every inheritance, you have to choose to accept it. I chose. When my brother sent me a check in the mail from my father, and I went to the bank and said, thank you, Dad. Thank you, Mom. And thank you, Jesus. Little did they know, my daughter's getting married. But how many know the Lord provides? I said, how many know the Lord provides? And listen, he knows what he's doing. He knows when to do it. He knows how to do it. All we need to do is walk in obedience to the Lord in the season that you're in, every season of life. So you got to get rid of sin that so easily besets and weighs us down. And sin comes into our life when we lose perspective. So the purpose of blessing is to guide your life. But when you lose perspective of the blessing, you can get into sin. And believe the lie of the enemy that says, God is not blessing me. Just because the doctor called and gave you some sort of a diagnosis, how many know that's not the end of the story? Because you have eternal life. Say, well, Pastor, I don't want to die. Well, unfortunately, we all will. That's unfortunate. And when we will, no one knows. Nobody knows when we're born. Nobody knows when we die. It happens. Jim told me on Wednesday, I went to see him, my friend that had the open heart surgery. He said, wow. Because we had one of our CE reps, pastor from Kabul. He was in the meeting on Monday, and Tuesday he died. Boom. Massive heart attack. Pastor at Kabul. Gone to heaven. How many know you don't know? One day could change everything. My brother was 34 years old, pumping out a swimming pool in Nevada, and he's working for a swimming pool company, pumping out, cleaning swimming pools, and the little crack, small crack in the casing of the pump, and he put that in the water. Somehow it electrocuted him, and it left him in a vegetated state for 20 years. Electrocuted, burned his vocal cords. Burned, pulled him, drew him up like an infant, you know, just drew him up. And by the time my mom and dad got him from Nevada to take custody of him, because his wife left him after 2 weeks. I mean, no, life is not fair. By the time they got custody in Lafayette, Louisiana, they had gangrene had set into his hip. They had to break his legs to straighten him out, break his arms. Couldn't do anything about his vocal cords. They were burned out. But I got to give you some good news. Just before he left to Nevada, he walked down to an old-fashioned altar at my home church and gave his heart to Jesus. How many know I'd rather have my brother in heaven? I don't guess you understand what I'm saying. What happens to you down here is not as important as how you make it up there. So 20 years, he could not talk, fed intravenously, nurse around the clock. People would come to see him. Maybe they would think, wow, that's not a blessing. That's a curse. Never say blessing or a curse. Only say the will of the Lord be done. Because some people might look at Jesus on the cross and say, what a curse. In fact, they believe that. Cursed is he who hangs on a tree. That's what they believe. But how many know it wasn't a curse at all? It was a blessing for us who believe. It's a curse to those who do not believe. Do you understand that? In fact, Moses gave the people of God a kind of an ultimatum. I lay before you life and death. Blessing and cursing. You choose life. So it comes from God. It's inherited when we receive it. Very important. Number three, it's very important that you get this. God blesses the obedient, but he also blesses the generous. You can unlock, unleash, open heavens over your life when you learn to be generous as God is. God so loved he gave. God so loved he gave. Now, unlike me, his love for us does not override his will to discipline us when we need it. And so little Hudson turns 2 soon, and I told Nana to go and buy a spoon, put his name on it. Because how many know he's going to get it? He is going to get it. Because we love him enough to correct him. Is anybody glad that God loves us enough? So if you think that blessing is only getting, and not real love or tough love that does distribute discipline when it's time, then you can lose perspective and fall into sin. If we only fully obey him and careful to follow him in all of his ways. He said, I don't want any poor people among you. I don't want any poor people among you. That means that those who are vulnerable and poor and weak, the church of Jesus Christ is supposed to strengthen and help the weak. Is that right? So God says, I'm going to make you a blessing. Oak Grove, I'm going to bless you so that you in turn can bless the poor. So that means if we choose to take all the blessing from the Lord and hoard it and hide it and keep it and not do with it as God commands, how many know he can turn the faucet off as quickly as he turned it on? And I think that sometimes churches and people don't understand that. If you're generous, if you have a generous heart, he said, listen, you will lend to many nations and borrow from none. You will rule over many nations, but none will rule over you. And look what Luke chapter 6, verse 38. If you give, you will receive. There's the condition. Receiving is contingent upon giving. You understand that? You can't just be a big fat cat, suck all the life out of everything. How many know there's some people who are entitled, or they have an entitlement mind that said, everything belongs to me. Give me, give me, give me. But you reap what you sow. So you have to have something going out and something coming in. And I'm here to tell you, you can never outgive our God. If it's going out here, how many know the Lord will bring it around here? You reap what you sow. What goes around comes around. It's just the nature of God, right? Your gift will return to you in full measure, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more and running over. Whatever measure you use in giving, large or small, it will be used to measure what is given back to you. So let me just ask you today, how much do you want to walk in the blessings? How much blessing do you want to walk in? A spoonful of blessing? I don't know about you, but I'd like to have a tanker truck full. Right? So to measure that you give, it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It's a picture of the farmer having seed and putting seed and gathering the harvest. And he's shaking his apron because he's putting all that seed in his aprons. If you were grabbing grapes, let's say if you're grabbing grapes off the vine, you just put a bunch of grapes in your pocket and you shake it down. I want to put more and more and more and more in there and press it down. And you don't want to press down grapes. It becomes juice, right? We're talking about wheat. We're talking about grain. So you shake it, shake it, shake it. And then they press it down and so they can put more in there till it runs over. Can you imagine coming back to the house after being in the field and you just are overflowing with blessing? Anybody want to be overflowing with a blessing? How many want a spoonful of blessing? Well, contingent upon your generosity. Number four, God blesses the confident. The confident. I think that there's a big difference between arrogance and confidence. Confidence is not arrogance. I believe God's word says it. How many know that? I can hold on to the promises of God with confidence. I don't know what rope you're holding, but I'll tell you like this. My confidence is not in the social security system. I don't know if it'll be around when I get old. Don't look at me like I'm old. I'm 55, still alive. But 10 years, I don't even know if it'll be around. I mean, America's heading for some serious bad places. And our children, our grandchildren may suffer for some of the wrongdoing we're doing in America. We're a generous nation. We started off as a generous nation. We lend to the world. I said we rule over the world and nobody ruled over us. We didn't owe anybody anything. How many know it's a different story today? Different story. We're losing the blessing. And you don't have to claw your way around. God is for you. Some Christians think they got to work it hard, make it hard. I don't see God making life hard. I see most of the problem I have in difficulties I have are my problem. I see it being my problem. God's made it pretty easy. So do not throw away, Hebrews 10:35. Do not throw away this confidence. Trust in the Lord no matter what happens. No matter what happens. Last night we heard from the speaker at the Pregnancy Care Center banquet, and he talked about Job. Job lost everything, 100% of everything. But God gave it back 100% fold, right? 100 fold. And so we only deal with what we lost. We never deal with what we have. You're blessed no matter what happens. Remember the great reward it brings you. Verse 36, patient endurance is what you need now, so you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that He has promised. So if you only serve the Lord on good days and you fall back on bad days, then you're going to vacillate between whether you think God is good to you or not good to you. When the sun is shining, He's good. When it's cold outside, He's not good, right? When the roof blows halfway off, He's blessed our church, right? Or He hasn't blessed our church. When the roof is not leaking, He's blessed. How many know we would be cursed if it had to deal with our roof? For 17 years, we've had leaky roof. How many is ready to get a roof that doesn't leak? I know I am. And you would be too if you had to carry all the water all over the place, right? So the problem is we lose perspective in our pain, in the bad times. Then you have to stay faithful. Number five, God blesses the disciplined. The disciplined. Our God, the God of the Bible, is a God of blessing. And I love 14 verses in Deuteronomy 28. I want you to turn to Deuteronomy 28 so we can finish out. And I'll have to finish this another day. But I think it's so important. The text, Moses is speaking on behalf of the Lord. Israel's whole future centered upon the relationship with God. And they had experienced redemption from Egypt. They had been protected and preserved by God 40 years in the wilderness. And they wandered around. And now they're on the verge of crossing the Jordan to enter the promised land. So if they had learned anything, they learned that all true blessings flow from the Lord. Does anybody agree with that? Look at this in chapter 28. Look at this. If you fully obey the Lord, verse 1, your God, and carefully follow all His commands I give to you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on the earth. Listen to this. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. There's that little bitty word. Half of the word life is if, I-F, right? Verse 3, you will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. That's just physical blessings. Verse 7, the Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven directions. Hey, I mean, ready for the enemy to come in at you one way and then take off seven ways because God is protecting you. Can't touch the child of God, right? The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land He is giving you. Verse 9, the Lord will establish you as a holy people, as He promised you on oath, if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in His ways. Then all the peoples on the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of the livestock and crops on your ground, in the land swore to your fathers. The Lord will open the heavens. I mean, like the heavens open over your head, over your house, over your church, over your city, over your country. The Lord will open up the heavens over you and the storehouse of His bounty to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. I don't know about you, but that's shouting ground for this Pentecostal. We're all seemingly on the defensive all the time, like we got to battle our way through God. He just said, you're the head, not the tail. The church ought to be the leader. God's people ought to be the leaders, walking in the blessing of God, seeing the favor of God. You're the head and not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord, I give you this day, you'll be the head and not the tail. Verse 14, do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you to the right or the left, following other gods and serving them. However, verse 15, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees I am giving you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. So you can't really talk about the blessing of God without having the opposite potential of the curse. So I lay before you, Moses said, life and death, blessing and cursing. You have to make a choice. I think that many times we'd be insane if we didn't talk about personal responsibility. So we have a sovereign God that offers us blessing, but we have personal responsibility to receive that blessing, whether things are going good or not. God is the source of all blessing. Amen? And they learned that all true blessings flow from the Lord. The priest could not bless. He could only invoke a blessing. Remember Aaron's priesthood? Aaron spoke a blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you, which is the smile of God on your life. The Lord is pleased with you. Remember when the heavens opened over Jesus and the voice from heaven said, this is my son. He has all that I have. I give him my inheritance. I am pleased with him. Because although he didn't want to go, he went in obedience to the cross so that you and I, is anybody excited about the message of the gospel? That's the truth of the gospel. Jesus didn't skip to the cross. He walked to the cross, not opening his mouth, like a lamb led to the slaughter. We're coming up on Palm Sunday. We're coming up on Easter. How many know we know the rest of the story? The promise is resurrection life. But do you know there's still people today dealing with the death of Jesus as if he never came out of the ground? How many know he's alive? I said he's alive. And he's our high priest. And he invokes, not only is it from him, but he also invokes a blessing upon your life. Israel's whole future centered upon their relationship with the Lord, right? And so the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. It's God who blesses man. The greater blesses the lesser. And so God alone has the power, right? Moses said that the Lord will set thee above all the nations of the earth. He rules the nations. God can do anything he wants. And you can look at Iran and Iraq today. You can look at Syria and Lebanon. And it seems like, how many know there's nothing but a bunch of talk? They're nothing but a bunch of bullies. How many know the Lord is going to use Israel and wipe the whole thing out? And if you don't believe that, in fact, I believe there's some sort of blessing on Trump because he's defending Israel. You believe what you want, but I'm not saying that he's all that. I'm saying if he invokes goodness to what God wants, goodness will come back. I think it may be the salvation of America. I said it might be the only hope for America if we stay with God's people, Israel. But if you curse Israel, are you seeing what I'm saying? He said, you bless what I bless and you curse what I curse. See that? You have to be in will with the will of God and alignment with the word of God. If you bless Israel, you will be blessed. If you curse Israel, you will be cursed. Listen, I'm not Jewish. I'm just reading the Bible. That's the word of the Lord. He is serious about this. So Paul in Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, God is able, we must look to him, trust him in the hour of need. For the blessing comes from the Lord. He has a desire to bless us rather than curse us. But the blessing must be secured by a life of submission, right? The blessing is attached to the commandment. The blessing is attached to the commandment. We have a church today in the 21st century, pseudo church, that is saying you can be blessed and without the commandments. In other words, you don't have to have transformation. You don't have to walk in obedience. You can be drinking, smoking, cussing, carousing, and still get the blessing of God. How many know that's the prodigal son who did not stay, by the way, in the father's house? If you want to carry on, I mean, you have to get out of the father's protection and blessing. And that's why he came to his right thinking and said, he said, I had it better than the slaves and the servants in my father's house. So he came back to buy his way back in. But the father said, you didn't buy it the first time and you can't buy it the second. I mean, it's only by inheritance. You are not my slave. You are my son. Somebody kill the fatted calf. Get a robe for this guy. Put slippers on him. That which was lost is now found. That which was dead is alive again. My son came to his right mind. Who in their right mind would think God would bless disobedience? He doesn't do that. It may be that he'll let you get there and eat out of a hog pen till you get your right thinking back. So God never stopped loving the prodigal. But he didn't get the blessing till he came home. Are y'all hearing me? And so we have churches today to fill their pews. They're saying, hey, just come on in anyway. You don't have to change. How many know that is totally hogwash? You do have to change. If you're willing to obey, then the blessings will come. Are you following what I'm saying? So not only that, but the blessings are activated by our choice. It's a long chapter, 68 verses, but it's divided into two parts. Of 14 verses have to do with blessing, and the others have to do with cursing. And 30, verse 15, Deuteronomy, see, I've set before you this day life and good and death and evil. It's a choice. It's a choice. So people today are saying, you know, God doesn't love me because I'm going through this and that. His face is not shining on me. Say, God's face shines at all times. I say, God's face always shines. So whether you're in his visible presence or not, amen? As to whether that you can't, God is not in darkness. You have to come out of darkness into his light, amen? And so God's blessings will overtake you. Without doubt, one of the most positive and delightful verses in the Bible. Just to read it puts a smile on your face. All these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. Wow. It's going to overtake you. The blessing of God, when you get in with Jesus, will hunt you down, take over your life. Some of you think you're blessed because of your will and your work. How many know it has nothing to do with you? You made a wise choice in getting Jesus. I remember when Naomi and Ruth were coming into Bethlehem, the house of bread, as opposed to leaving Moab, the place of desert, dry, no good, right? Everything there was death. I mean, everything over here is life. So Naomi finally chose life. I mean, Ruth said, I'll go with you. Your God will be my God. Listen, she was willing. She was willing to make a covenant with Ruth. Didn't know that God Yahweh. Didn't know what they were over there. Just said it got to be. Anything's better than this. How many got to a place in your life when you were serving God that you said, hey, there's got to be something better than this. And you chose to follow Jesus. And that's the day you received inheritance. So they were walking along and there in Boaz's field. The Bible says in chapter 2 of Ruth said, Naomi said, by chance, let's go into this field and glean. All right. That's divine direction, right? Let's go. God gave him wisdom to go that way. And then you had divine sovereignty and said, by chance, God would leave us a blessing. She knew the law. No poor should suffer. God cares about all people everywhere. And he wants to bless the church, to bless the world, so they can see how good God is, right? May the love of God be shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit, that they might see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. That's how it goes. I bless you so you can be a blessing to the other nations. It will overtake you. God's blessings come in all shapes and sizes. I mean, it's crazy. Promises of the nation Israel's prosperity in the city as well as the country. Blessed shall thou be in the city and in the field. Both farmer and businessman will be blessed with the presence of the Lord. So if you're a farmer today, say, well, it rained and all my crops are destroyed. How many are you still blessed? Because it rains on the just and the unjust. God makes the sunshine. God makes it rain. God makes the winds. I didn't say God caused our roof issue, but if he did have anything to do with it, how many know he can fix it? I'm not going to lose any stress. I want shalom. Somebody say shalom. I want shalom. I don't want to die tonight in my bed because I'm worried over a roof. How many know there's more important things in this world besides a material roof? There's people with souls, right? People who are really hurting. I've had church under the coffee trees in Mexico. I learned that you can get into the Spirit of the Lord anywhere. And Miss Chrissy, you may not have to have a sound system at all. I've been to Romania. They sang with hardly anything, right, Laura? They didn't have a whole lot, just sang and worship. We did a skit you don't even want to see. We don't even want people to see it. I hope they didn't record it because I don't remember what I was, a little lamb or something. I don't know what I was. I was actually a fool for Christ, if you want to know. God's not impressed by your performance or your stuff. And we are so confused blessing with material things when what really matters to God is people's soul. Amen? And so he said, you can gain the whole world and lose your own soul. You can gain the whole world. And listen to ministers. Listen, ministers can get so busy with winning the whole church or growing the church that they lose their own family. Seen it happen. Seen it happen. It's a matter of priority. Blessing what God blesses, right? It comes in all shapes and sizes. Verse 4, increase in your children, in your fields, and your cattle. Blessed shall be the fruit of the body, fruit of the ground, fruit of thy cattle. Increase everything, right? His first principle and command was to multiply and replenish the earth. So why wouldn't he add blessing to you if that's what he wants to do? Verse 5, he promises the nation an abundance of the necessities of life. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Everything that they would need would be in abundant supply. Verse 6, he promises the nation safety on all their journeys. Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, when they go out. People of Israel would not live in fear. God would give freedom and safety to them. They already knew what it was like to be in slavery. Verse 7, promises Israel victory and supremacy over all of their enemies. Verse 8, Israel gets success in all their undertakings. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and all that thou settest thine hand to do. He shall bless thee in the land which the Lord God will give you. Whatever you set your mind to do. And if Colossians 3 says, whatever your hand finds to do, do with all your might. As to who? As to the Lord, right? So he is the benefactor. He is the motivating factor, not to man, because the Lord knows how to repay. You see that? If you had a choice this morning, Chrissy, you might can come back. I'll have to preach this another day. But if you had a choice today, whether to be blessed by the hands of man or blessed by the hands of God, how many would take the Lord's hand? The Lord's right hand of provision and protection. David understood it because he numbered Israel. He disobeyed God. How many are glad the grace of God can be extended to you? Forgiveness can be given to you even when you make a mistake. And even when you fall into disobedience, the Lord can extend his grace to you. I'm glad for the faithfulness of God. But David numbered Israel. He had to pay the price. God gave him three options. And he said, I'd rather fall by the hand of God because God can be merciful to me. If I fall by the hand of man, I might not find that mercy. Man can be really judgmental and very unfair. Verses 9 and 10, God promised to elevate the nation to a position of prominence, right? 13, they should be the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only and never beneath. They shall become the envy of all nations, blessed with prosperity and power and position. The difference between old and the new is Israel's blessings were physical and earthly, and our blessings this morning are spiritual and eternal.